Welcome into the KSRO Kitchen. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, celebrating our 31st year on the air here in Sonoma County.
Oh, my goodness.
Speak louder.
My goodness.
Nice to see you, my friend.
Yeah, good to see you, too.
And we want to welcome the team from Kendall Jackson today. We have been involved in one form or the other with Kendall Jackson for over 20 years, since the establishment of the Culinary Center over on Fulton Road, the first heirloom tomato festivals back in the 90s through the 2000s, and we've watched the maturation of the culinary team as well as the gardens with the culinary gardens, the different gardeners that have gone through that, and the acquisitions that Jeff Jackson has made over some 35 years or so, adding to the portfolio of Jackson Family Wines.
So I just asked these guys, how many wineries are there in the portfolio? And how many are there?
We have over 50 all over the world.
It's amazing. And I said to you, how do you keep track of them? How does one manage 50 different wineries?
Barbara Banky, very organized woman.
Yeah.
Culmination being this new book.
Yep. Take a sip of water.
I am. It's okay. Called Season. Beautiful book.
Yeah, really a gorgeous book. So what was the genesis for this book idea? Well, first we should introduce who's here, Justin Wangler is here. Tracy, I'm going to butcher your name, because you have all of those CH sounds and all that.
Sheepas Chamani.
That's it.
Sheepas Chanami.
Got it.
Second
for
one.
For the win.
Tracy's Sheepas Chanami and Justin Wangler. We know that one. And Tucker Taylor.
And Tucker Taylor.
That's the easy one.
Who's the gardener there. And for each of you, I had forgotten, Justin, that you've been there, you just told us, 15 years?
Yep.
Holy cow.
Yeah, crazy.
And what it was 15 years ago and what it is now, it's really a different place.
Yeah, we've come a long way. And it's been fun. It's almost like the job's changed, but I go to the same location. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely evolved, and we have a beautiful kitchen, and Tucker's taken the garden to a whole new level. And it's just a great company, great family to work for, and happy to go to work.
And how long have you been aboard, Tracy?
I'm on my 10th year now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gosh, we met you back at Willie's Wine Bar many, many years ago.
Yeah, feels like a lifetime ago.
Great.
So the genesis for this book, how did it start?
You know, a couple different ways. You know, after Jess passed away, we talked about like doing something that, you know, kind of spoke to his love for food and wine and how he decided to plant the garden with Barbara, you know, back in the day, because he realized people were being separated from where their food grows, and he wanted the Culinary Center to be a place where people to come and learn and see things grow and learn about food and wine together, because he loved food and he loved wine and he understood the importance of them going together. So started with that, and then it took us some time to get it rolling, but we're cooking for folks at all the different wineries. You know, we have $1,500 to $500 a bottle of wine. So we have a really diverse group of folks we cook for, which is a lot of fun. And we're constantly cooking, and people are asking for recipes, and we're writing recipes, and we realized, you know, we should probably just put something together and document it and test it, because, you know, sometimes we were writing recipes pretty quickly and sending them home with people, and then we you know this. I mean, it takes a lot of time to really write a good recipe. Yeah. So we started home testing recipes, and that was one of the key things when we first started writing the book. You know, we were cooking in a $50,000 Rational oven at work, and the recipes weren't translating. So we actually went out and got a stove and put it behind, like a home stove behind the kitchen.
Oh, you're kidding.
So, yeah, a couple weeks in, we realized that we needed to test on the home stove. So we were all tested on a decor range, and then Janet, our assistant, went home and tested them on her oven, and we gave recipes to folks that work in the tasting room and marketing, and so we had it tested on a lot of different ovens, which I think is important to the book. So.
Well, you were saying before we got on the air about how originally it was going to be a fancy schmancy, you know, pretty chefy kind of book, and then you moved away from that.
Yeah, you know, we started in that direction kind of because we get to make some pretty fancy food, and you know, we enjoy that style, and But I went home and tested a recipe, and it took me like 2 hours, and I had a ton of dishes. I'm the executive dishwasher at my house also. And I realized, like, I wouldn't make this dish at home again. And I didn't, you know, when we talked, Tracy and I talked, and we said, well, why are we writing this book? You know, we want to write a book that people are actually going to cook out of. We want a book that's in their kitchen getting dirty, getting used, the pages getting bent up, you know. So we took a step back, and we really simplified a lot of what we do. And Buttercup, he wasn't totally on board with that. So there's a couple of tricky dessert recipes in there, but there's some 30-minute meals and there's some fun stuff in there. So I think we made the right book that people are actually.
Before we go any further, everyone's wondering who is what is a buttercup?
What's a buttercup?
Buttercup's a big pastry chef that we have. He doesn't look like a buttercup, but he's a very talented dude. He was actually on the culinary Olympic team. He did the baking side and he did the chocolate side, and he finished 5th place in the world in chocolate 2 years ago. So really, really talented guy.
What's his real name?
Robert Nieto.
Robert Nieto. And how did he get the nickname?
It was just random. We were doing like a team building volleyball thing, and he was on the other team, and I think I said, serve it up, Buttercup, and it just stuck. And now his wife calls him Buttercup. Yeah. His Instagram handle is Chef Buttercup.
I think it's on his chef coat,
too. It's on his chef coat. It's on his business cards. Like, he's embraced it full force.
So, Tucker, I'm wondering, what could have enticed you to leave the dream job, as far as any gardener would imagine, being at the French Laundry, to come to Kendall Jackson?
Well, I had begun consulting on the side while I was at the French Laundry, and that really took off. So a friend of mine brought me over for wine and food pairing one day, and I had always heard about this amazing garden in Sonoma County. And after the wine and food pairing, we walked out to the garden with Justin, and I just saw what the garden could be in my mind's eye, and we just started a discussion that lasted about 3 months long, and the conversation kept getting better and better. And finally, they offered me an amazing opportunity.
It was one of your mentors, right, that designed the garden too, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, so Jeff Dawson designed the garden just over 20 years ago, so it's an honor to follow in his footsteps.
And Jeff, of course, helped design the gardens up at Fetzer back in the early 90s when you were culinary director up there, John.
Did all kinds of really wonderful things. You have such an interesting background. It wasn't a straight line to the garden kind of path that you took.
No, I studied business administration at the University of Florida and really had no idea what I wanted to do. And after I graduated, I got a job at a bank and quickly realized what I didn't want to do. I was always coming home to unwind in my garden, and one day it just dawned on me, this is what I want to do every day. So I went back and earned a second degree in environmental horticulture, which was the best decision I ever made.
That's fantastic.
So you take care of, what, 4+ acres or so? Is that
so? At the Kendall Jackson estate, we have 4 acres there, and then there's another 8 acres on the family's property, and another 8 acres in Geyserville that we haven't planted in the last couple of years, but we're looking for some land that's a little bit closer.
So one of the – I encourage people to go visit the garden, because you're always growing things that I've never heard of. And there are a couple of them in the book here. Everything's not completely exotic. I mean, these are things that most people can get. But I love the idea that you're experimenting with things and trying new things and finding out what'll work here and what doesn't work here and what these guys will use in the kitchen.
Yeah, and I think one of the fun things about the book is it's organized by season. Mm-hmm. And each season, Tucker kind of starts out. One that starts out with his beautiful photography. He puts, we have one page of his Instagram shots at the beginning of each season that kind of shows you some of our favorite stuff. But he's also telling you what's growing in the season and kind of what we're planting for and just what's happening in Sonoma County as far as farming. And we kind of take you a little bit through the wine side of that too, which I think is cool. Because, I mean, where we live, it's such a seasonal lifestyle. I mean, when you live in Sonoma or Napa, everything's around the grape harvest pretty much and what's growing. And it was really fun to showcase that in Tucker's eyes of what's going through his mind as far as seasonality. And right now we're at this really cool spot where we're kind of we almost get more seasons here. You know, we're kind of like starting, it feels like fall this morning out there. And, you know, we have Asian pears and we're starting to have fall squashes, but we still have zucchini from summer and tomatoes. So it's one of those fun times of year when you can't really replicate a lot of the cuisine that we do in all parts of the world.
So. Okay, so what's your favorite season? All of you. You have to each answer that.
I like fall, I think.
Yeah. Crazy?
I think I'm a summer gal. I mean, my love for tomatoes and corn and eggplant and zucchini is... I'm Italian, though, so that makes sense.
So you have a bias, a built-in DNA
I think
bias.
I do.
And you're a southerner, so what is your bias?
I mean, I like fall. I like when it's warm in the days and cool at nights and the food starts to get a little richer. Spring also, too. Mm-hmm. Spring would be my second.
I know, right? A good fava bean? But,
yeah. Like, spring's just... Everything's happening again, you know, and it's just green and bright and fresh. But I think fall, I like when it's a little
because you can use bacon.
Yeah, lots of bacon. Yeah.
And chorizo. Tucker, what about you?
I've always liked spring, especially after a relatively cold, dark winter, and just that feeling of renewal and bulbs popping out of the ground, and it's an exciting time.
Well, we're toasting to the release of the book. Actually, the release date was officially September 15th, although it's been around for the past few weeks or so. Some people got some sneak peeks of it.
Yeah, we had some sneak peeks for some friends, and we've been out promoting it. We were in San Francisco and Sonoma doing the Williams-Sonoma. We actually did their original very first store where Tucker found Chuck Williams' bed and... Took a little rest in there, but have you been in the store?
What did you just say? Tucker found Chuck Williams' bed
in the town of Sonoma.
Yeah. Upstairs, they still have like a room set up with his bed and everything. So, a little sneak attack for a quick nap for Tucker. But we did a little cooking demo over there, and then we went to their Union Square store, which is ridiculous.
Oh, that place is gorgeous.
That place is unbelievable. It's just like you want one of everything, and there's like three floors of everything.
You know, the other thing I'll mention, if you haven't had a chance to see it, is Copia just opened the museum.
That was our first stop, so we were there. I think it was three weekends ago, we were able to do a cooking demonstration.
Were you? Because it's such an amazingly beautiful
place.
It
was so gorgeous.
And all that stuff.
Yeah.
they do a really good job with their layout, too.
But the book is now in the stores, isn't it?
Yeah. We've had our official book birthday.
Book birthday. So let's toast it. What are we toasting the release of the book? So
we got a little rosé for you.
Who's
this is Kendall Jackson. It's Pinot. I believe there's a little bit of Syrah and maybe some Grenache in there too.
So. Well, we toast. We'll come back and we'll get into the book season by season. Chef Justin Wangler is with us, and Chef Tracy Shipos Chinami is with us, and culinary gardener Tucker Taylor joining Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner, in the KSRO kitchen this morning.
I'm Brett Musburger, and this is the North Bay's home of the Oakland Raiders and the Golden State Warriors. KSRO 103.5 and 94.5. Reed's Trailer Sales is having their annual inventory clearance sale on all 2018 in-stock travel trailers and fifth-wheel RVs. If you've ever considered buying a recreation vehicle, now is the time. All units are green tagged with rock-bottom prices. Reed's Trailer Sales has top brands like the Montana Fifth Wheels made by the Amish and ranked number one top seller for over 15 years. Cougar and Lance Travel Trailers both ranked number one in their class. With over 200 trailers in stock, Reed's Trailer Sales has the best selection and the best prices of the year, so don't miss out. Now's the time to trade in that old RV or purchase that RV you've always dreamed about. Reed's Trailer Sales is locally owned for 26 years and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. So, come on out to Reed's Trailer Sales. Sale ends 9:30.
Reed's, you should buy your trailer at Reed's. A fifth-wheel travel trailer or utility. You should buy your trailer at Reed's.
Reed's Trailer Sales.
Okay, so you may not be a doctor, a scientist, or a medical researcher, but believe it or not, you can still help find the cures for cancer. In fact, it's so easy, anyone can do it. Help us bring light to the darkness of cancer by joining the North Bay Light the Night event in Santa Rosa, Saturday, September 29th, to raise money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. When we walk, cancer runs. Every dollar raised helps fund the LLS mission to find cures that will give hope to cancer patients and their families right here in our community. LLS has saved hundreds and thousands of lives, and that's all thanks to people like you. Together, we are taking steps to find the cures for cancer. Not someday, but today. Visit lightthenight.org/GBA to find out more about how your support can help LLS save lives, bringing light to the darkness of cancer. Saturday, September 29th, 5 p.m. at Courthouse Square, Santa Rosa. For almost 50 years, United Way of the Wine Country has been dedicated to improving lives locally. They're deeply committed to achieving lasting solutions for the entire community in the areas of education, financial stability, and health. Through programs such as Schools of Hope, School Readiness Backpacks, Summer Reading Packs, and Little Free Libraries, and Earn It, Keep It, Save It, United Way is creating opportunities for a better life for all. We all win when a child succeeds in school, when all families and individuals are financially stable, and when people are healthy. It takes everyone in the community working together and living united to create a brighter future. To find out how you can give, advocate, or volunteer with the United Way of the Wine Country, go online to UnitedWayWineCountry.org or call United Way at 707-528-4485. That's 707-528-4485.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KS Arto Kitchen, Steve Garner, along with, of course, my co-host, Chef John Ash, and the culinary and gardening team from Kendall Jackson, celebrating the release of the new book. It's called Season, A Year of Wine Country, Food, Farming, Family, and Friends, just out this past week officially with Chefs Justin Wangler and Chef Tracy Shipos-Chinami, with culinary gardener Tucker Taylor, all joining us live in the KS Arto Kitchen this morning. So talk about the difference in this cookbook, Tracy, about all the food that is shot in this book.
Well, we're really proud to be able to say that this book took over a year to come to fruition for a couple reasons, but mostly because we really felt it important that the pictures you see in this book, the photographs, the beautiful food, nearly most of it was actually grown by Tucker in our gardens. So we didn't have to really fake anything so there's some really, I mean, it's gorgeous, beautiful pictures by Alan Campbell. And we were very lucky. We had a great team with food stylists and some people guiding us and helping us out. But for the most part, we didn't have to do that much because what Tucker grows is just so pretty. And we really wanted to be able to showcase that.
Our producer, Mike DeWald, is actually posting some pictures of produce grown in Tucker's garden at Kendall Jackson.
Unusual things.
What are those in front of you, Tucker?
So I just brought a nice selection of some of the relatively rare things that we're growing right now. One of the hottest crops we've been growing this year are Malabar spinach buds. Mm-hmm. So there are these hot pink little spheres that grow on a stalk. So we're also growing the leaves as well. But
now, I grow Malabar spinach in my garden because it's a spinach I can eat during the winter. It's right. Tough, but I don't think I've never noticed these beautiful flowers on
and
there.
And the really cool thing for chefs about this is a lot of times when you have pink or purple vegetables, they don't keep their color when you cook them, you know, other than beets. And so when you cook these Malabar tips, you just saute them in a little olive oil and salt, and they get this nutty flavor, but they keep that beautiful color. So it's been one of our favorites lately.
And we also have these petite sour gherkins with the blossom still attached. So this is what a larger one looks like.
What is that? So I mean, is it when you say gherkin, is it used as a pickle?
Yeah, it's like a cucumber. Yeah. You had them here too. Yeah. I saw them.
The cucamelon.
Cucamelon is what they call them. I think it's one of the most Instagrammed vegetables for a while there. But they have great crunch and they taste kind of like a citrus lime sort of flavor with cucumber.
So what I'm going to do is pickle them.
Nice.
Because as much as I like them, my wife, who likes sour more than me, she said, no, they're a little too sour for me. Now, Gwen said I picked them a little too young, that I needed to let them get a little bit bigger and they might get a little milder, possibly. don't know. But they call them, I love this, Q-cats.
Q-cats, mm-hmm. Okay.
So I haven't heard that yet. I like it.
So Tracy, you were talking about the book itself and that the original kind of run-through of the book, it was done on high-gloss paper and especially for photographs and stuff that sort of makes the colors pop a little bit more. But you decided, you all collectively, decided to do it on matte paper. And what it does is it makes it softer. I think it actually makes all of the food photos even more delicious looking.
Yeah, we were talking about how on when you get a high gloss picture, I mean, it definitely highlights and makes things bright and eye appealing. Mm-hmm. But we didn't need that as much. Because we have all these beautiful, bright, already kind of naturally bright and colorful pictures. So we really liked this kind of more natural. It felt like you said, softer, and it just felt like it felt timeless. Mm-hmm. And that was really important. Like Justin was saying, we want people to really use this book. We want people to maybe find some new favorites that they revisit often, or maybe a new Thanksgiving dish that they want to cook every year. And so we want this book to be one of those books that definitely lasts over time. And that matte felt like it fell in line with that, mm-hmm. with that motto.
And was there another plant that you brought in, Tucker, this morning, or were those all the ones? Is there something else?
So we have a Agretti, and a fellow master gardener friend of mine gave me some seeds. And I always struggled with getting this to germinate. But she told me that the key is using fresh seed. So the seed have a pretty short shelf life.
And what are you doing?
So it has a really nice, crunchy salinity to it. I like it just fresh in salads.
Pass it around. Yeah. Have you tasted it, John?
Yeah, no. So it looks a little like...
Like a sea bean?
Like sea beans, yeah.
It's kind of got that flavor, too.
And then,
how would you use this, Justin? Do you use this?
We can use it raw, but and a lot of times for a garnish. But a lot of this stuff's fun just barely cook, just mm-hmm. to take the raw off it. Mm-hmm. You know, just heat it for mm-hmm. a couple seconds.
One of my favorites is
mine too.
Kinome.
Yeah,
that one's awesome.
Yeah,
What is it again? Say again.
Kinome.
Kinome.
Yeah,
it's a nice palate cleanser. So it's also called the Sancho pepper. But it's not really a pepper. It's in the citrus family. So
you know in Japan, how you know what they do with this. They take it in it. So it's used with all kinds of interesting raw foods, but I always love it that the waiter comes and goes, smashes it, you know, and releases its flavor.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you see that a lot. I mean, even if you just mint with the bartender, you know, but that's what you want. You want fresh things, and you want to release those essential oils kind of like the last seconds. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, Tucker always recommends if you're going to grow one thing at your house, grow herbs and then chop them up and add them to your dish right at the last minute.
Did you discover that, Justin, when you were in Japan?
I had it in Japan, and they actually have it at Hana, Japanese. They grow it on the back porch out there, too. So, and you got ice lettuce over there,
Tucker? Easy to grow?
Yes.
Kinome?
Yeah. Okay. I got the trees at Harmony Farm Supply.
Okay.
Oh, real easy. So it grows well in Sebastopol. Yeah. We know that for sure. So we should probably jump into the book because we've got four seasons to cover, don't we?
We do.
So you have to hit this last one.
Yeah,
one. What is this pretty purple flower?
So the purple flower are oyster leaf flowers. Mm. So the leaves of the oyster leaf taste just like oysters. They're really amazing. They originate in the moors of Scotland. And I obtained the seeds for this plant from a source in France, as well as the ice lettuce, which isn't really a lettuce. It's a succulent, so it has a really nice crunch. Yeah,
but it's so pretty. I mean, it looks like it's covered with ice.
It looks like diamonds.
Taste that one. It tastes like purslane. And I actually like this one just barely warmed with vegetables, too.
The oyster leaf I like to eat and close my eyes and imagine I'm, you know, standing right on the ocean.
And the oyster leaf, Tucker was selling that for $1 a leaf to the restaurants last year in San Francisco. I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, the chefs use it. They put a little caviar on it and maybe some oyster foam or something, and it looks really cool. It's a nice little way to start your meal.
It's unbelievable. You're right. It's like eating an oyster.
Yeah. I mean, it puts you right there. Yeah. I put you right in that place.
Really, there's three words to describe this. I love this.
Yeah.
This is remarkable.
Yeah. So this kind of stuff for us as chefs is pretty amazing because, as you know, John, like when you've worked in this industry for a long time, it's not that often that in the produce arena that something new is brought to your attention unless you're lucky enough to really travel somewhere different. Mm-hmm. Or so we're so lucky to have Tucker for a lot of reasons, but this is one of my favorite reasons, mm-hmm. is because he really pushes himself to be on the cutting edge and the cusp of what is new and exciting before most people even know what it is. And in turn, we get the benefit of that as chefs, that we get to really be introduced mm-hmm. to new things that we've never heard of or tasted. And then that really helps to push us with our food and continue to evolve.
Second part of the show, we'll jump into the new book, Season, A Year of Wine Country Food Farming, Family and Friends, by chefs Justin Wangler, chefs Tracy Shipos, Chinami, and culinary gardener Tucker Taylor. The book is brand new from Jackson Family Wines, out actually this past week, and we're thrilled to be able to bring this to you on the radio. Chef John Ash and Steve Garner in the KSRO kitchen. One of you will win an autographed copy of the book at the end of the show. We'll jump into the book right after this break.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
If you're selling a home in Sonoma County, you know the fires have changed everything. It's more important than ever to have an agent who really knows the market. That's why you should call Mike Kelly.
It's a different landscape these days. You're dealing with insurance companies, lawyers, inspectors. I can help you get through all of this stuff and sell your home the right way with less hassle.
If you've been affected by the fires, you need the Mike Kelly difference. Let Mike use his Sonoma County resources and connections to get you through all the obstacles, and his market knowledge to help you set the right price.
There'll be a lot of homes coming on the market, so now's the time to list yours. Show me your home, and I'll show you three quick and easy tips to maximize the return on your investment, even if you don't use me.
If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Find Mike at MikeKelly.com or call Mike at 707-322-8503, 707-322-8503.
Hi, this is Noreen Evans, former state senator. I'm proud to be part of a legal team representing thousands against PG&E over its role in the October wildfires. We've partnered with consumer advocate Aaron Brockovich to give families like yours the representation you deserve. Erin has taken on PG&E before and won, and we're excited to have her on our side. On Sunday, September 23rd, you can meet Aaron Brockovich in Santa Rosa to learn more about the case against PG&E and why Aaron is standing with us. Join us on Sunday, September 23rd from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Friedman Event Center located at 4676 Mayette Drive. If you have any questions, please visit pgelawsuit.com or call us at 707-237-2445. Again, that's 707-237-2445.
Noreen Evans of Watts Guerra LLP is the attorney responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Here's a health update from the Marin Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District.
It's mosquito and West Nile virus season. Stay healthy this summer and fight the bite by using an effective insect repellent when enjoying the outdoors, especially if you're out at dawn and dusk. Repellents containing DEET, oil of lemon eucalyptus, picaridin, or IR3535 are most effective. Get free mosquito fish for your backyard pond, ornamental ponds, water troughs, water feature, wine barrels, neglected swimming pools, and other man-made water sources. Call 285-2200 for more info.
The Marin Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District is an independent special district committed to protecting public health from mosquitoes and vector-borne disease. All programs and services are funded through benefit assessments and property taxes. Services are provided to all residents in Marin and Sonoma counties at no additional charge. Learn more at msmosquito.com.
This fall, change your grass for the better with 10% off Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fall Lawn Food and Fall Weed and Feed at the Home Depot. Scott's feeds your lawn now to build strong, deep roots this winter and lush green grass next spring. Fall's the time to do it, and now's the time to save. With savings on Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fall Lawn Food and Fall Weed and Feed. 10% off now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Selection varies by store.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
A few clouds for the weekend. Today, partly cloudy at 81, 67 on the coast. Mostly clear skies tonight, low 50, 52 on the shores. A few clouds for tomorrow as well at 80 degrees, 68 in Bodega Bay. Blue skies for Monday, though, at 87, 74 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
in the KSRO kitchen, delighted to debut the book Season, A Year of Wine Country Food, Farming, Family, and Friends by the culinary team at Jackson Family Wines. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, and we have Justin Wangler, Tracy Sheepus, Jimanami, and culinary gardener Tucker Taylor in the KSRO kitchen this morning.
I want to mention very quickly before we get into the book, because Tucker just showed me this amazing Instagram place that you have with all of these things, the hundreds of different things from the garden, and they're beautifully photographed and all of that. So if they can just go to Instagram.
Yeah. My handle is at Farmer T.
Okay.
Say again.
At Farmer T.
At Farmer T.
It's been a nice way to communicate with chefs.
I think it's interesting how you started that. You know, can you tell them the story about how you started doing that at the French Laundry for the chefs to see?
So I wanted the chefs to understand different sizing of produce, and that's the key about having a garden right next to the restaurant. The chefs can dictate what size they want for their respective dishes. And so instead of putting a petite radish next to a quarter, I started putting things in my hand so they could kind of get a visual, because chefs can read a black and white availability list, but once they see a picture, most chefs are pretty visual, so then their creativity really kicks in.
It's a great idea, huh?
So I shouldn't even bring this up. I remember Julia Child saying, you know, especially with all the tiny little vegetables and all this stuff, she was kind of anti that. I remember she said, oh, you should let them grow big. They have more flavor. I don't agree.
She never had Tucker's vegetables.
That's true.
So she's wrong?
Well, not necessarily, but, you know, if you think about a petite fennel, that fennel is packed full of fennel flavor. Because if you think about a larger bulb of fennel, it's pretty much got a lot of water in it.
Yeah,
it's still pretty tasty, but you know, there you use these two different styles and different applications.
Well, that's great, but there are vegetables that need to grow to maturity, and that might be a larger size for the flavor to blossom.
Right.
Okay, so here we go. We're jumping into spring.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I love that it's organized by, and in there are notes from you about what's available, what things are growing, and also wine notes, which I think is great too.
Yeah. So each season, so the book is broken down by seasons, and each season starts off with kind of a party or an event with a menu and wine pairings. So we give you an idea of maybe if you want to host a spring garden party or a summer picnic or a winter, you know, hors d'oeuvre, an appetizer party. So we give you that idea and kind of set the scene with some pictures of what that might look like. And then the rest of the chapter is broken down by other favorites in that season. But yes, every recipe has a wine pairing from a master sommelier. We work with a lovely gentleman by the name of Michael Jordan, and he tasted the dishes and really handpicked wines to go with each dish, as well as tips with each dish going on something gardening side from Tucker, or a cooking tip from Justin or myself, or from Buttercup. So every recipe is very much rounded out by all of those things.
So I'm going to dive right into a couple of these things. So it begins early on in spring. Are these little simple little toasts, little crostini with white beans and chevaux goat cheese, which shows up several times in here. It's obviously a cheese that you like.
It's a cheese that I like. I'm the curd nerd in the group.
Yeah.
It's one of the many things I'm known for. And yeah, I mean, we have so many great artisan cheesemakers in our area, and we have lots of great relationships with them. So we wanted to showcase those cheeses in this book. So that was, I love that toast.
Roasted asparagus with the olives and the nasturtium leaves, and secret ingredient, smoked almonds. You sneak these in occasionally, Justin?
Yeah, we like some smoked almonds. You know, I think it's one of those things, especially if you're trying to do some vegetarian stuff, that, you know, when you smoke a vegetable or you smoke a nut, you can sometimes fake bacon for people, at least that flavor. So, you know, it's good to add that to the list of ingredients.
So you have a recipe for roasted salmon with an artichoke barigoule and a sorrel aioli. And I think the thing that it sounds very complicated, but it's not. But you slow cook the salmon. At a very low temperature.
Yeah, and that just keeps it nice and tender. Uh-huh. But I think the really fun thing is the barigool. We put potatoes in there and apricots, and that, you know, the apricots give it a little sweetness mm-hmm. background that you wouldn't think of. But the potatoes make it really a full meal, and I think that was Tracy that started doing that, and it's really evolved the dish into more of a meal than
well,
just
and
a,
those
a
potatoes.
Side.
When you cook it all together like that, I mean, they just absorb mm. all that flavor from the artichoke, and they become just like this really flavorful, mm-hmm. you know, just delicious from all the components of that dish.
I thought one of the knockout dishes in that chapter for me was the halibut.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
peas, and grapefruit, which I wouldn't have thought to pair a citrus to offset the peas, but then you have a little bit of diced avocado there and the yogurt sauce with sumac, and sumac seems to be showing up everywhere, powdered sumac on top.
It's a nice way to add a little tang, a little acid, and you'll see that in a lot of the food. It's kind of what we're going after is balance. You know, if we have balanced wines, and then if our food's not too salty, not too sweet, you know, not too bitter. So a lot of times you'll see, like, the peas are sweet, then we're going to offset that by adding a little bit of grapefruit uh-huh. to add acid. So, again, just trying to get harmony and balance in each dish.
So you have a recipe, which is one of Steve's and my favorite recipes in the whole world, is clafoutis, huh? The cherry clafoutis. So the thing that was mind-boggling, which I never thought about, is if you don't want to make it in a crust, then don't. Just make it. It's really just a custard tart with or without the crust, depending on what you're doing. Can I ask you, do you pit the cherries?
We do, but traditionally, yeah. traditionally people don't. And yeah. I think it's fun. I mean, it's cool. You don't have to do just cherries. Yeah. I mean, we've done yeah. cherry tomatoes. We've done olives. Oh, you know, it's wow. so unexpected. So yeah. play around with it. But it's just good to have a good base recipe. You can either do the tart, or you can just pour it in a you know, oven-proof dish, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm. I'm anxious to get into the summer section because then I get to taste the canelis. What are canelis, and when did you experience those?
So I was actually a guest chef on a cruise ship in France, and before we got on the ship, we went to Bordeaux for a couple days, and I was downtown, and they had these stores, like every two blocks there's a canelis store, and I'd never had it, and I walked in, and I was thinking, like, how do these places stay in business when there's another store every two blocks? And all they sell is canelés, and there's probably 1,000 of them in there. And they have three different colors. The one you're eating today is like a medium. Wow. Then they have a darker and a golden blonde. So I went in there, bought a canelé, started walking down the street. Oh. By the time I finished it, I'd walked two blocks. I was in front of another store. I went in and bought another one. And I think that's the key mm. to staying in business mm. there. I mean, the French, they market things different. So simple, and they're just kind of genius like
so
that.
So what is it? Really?
So it's kind of like, it's almost like pancake batter. Uh-huh. I mean, it kind of looks like
with
pancake,
rum.
With a bunch of rum and vanilla. And I bought the molds when I was in France, and then I brought them back to Buttercup. And it literally took them about 2 weeks to dial in this recipe. And mm-hmm. it's a super simple recipe. One, you have to have the canelé mold, mm-hmm. Which is a copper mold. And we line it with beeswax and butter. And you kind of have to break it in like you would a cast iron mm-hmm. pan. But he started with like Captain Morgan's rum, and it tasted really strong, like it was a good flavor, but it kind of almost had this fake aftertaste. So we found this local rum, Sugar Daddy from Sonoma, and it's a great product, but really clean flavor, a lot of vanilla in there. And so we started using that rum and really playing around with the butter and beeswax mixture. We do 50% butter, 50% beeswax now. And they just come out really nice. And it's you bake it really high heat. So it's a really thin mm-hmm. batter. And you pour it into these molds. And you start it off at around 400 for 15 minutes. And then cool it down a little bit and cook it for about 45
minutes.
Just
spectacular.
It's got such a great, crusty, sugary, you know, it's like... I'll have a dozen of these.
Yeah. It's a great street food, too, because you can just pick it up and walk down the street.
So the beeswax, when I'm at Western Farms, I see beeswax for sale. And when I'm at Be Kind over in Sebastopol, I see beeswax for sale. Is there a special culinary-grade beeswax I need to purchase to make these?
Yeah, there is culinary-grade beeswax. And we actually have a lot of bees on property, not just for the honey and the wax, but for the health of the garden, too. But, yeah, you want to have culinary-grade beeswax. Okay. It's just a little cleaner. The other one's more for candle making, I believe.
Okay. I love the undeviled eggs. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that written that way. You've decided not to devil them with herbs and some horseradish. So the nice thing about the book is there's some very simple, approachable, but innovative recipes, too. And then there's more complex recipes, multi-step recipes.
Yeah, we like to say there's a couple aspirational recipes in there. And then the rest, yeah, they're, I really like the way you put that, that they're simple, but definitely, you know, still well thought out and flavorful. And like the undeviled eggs, you know, we want people to make this picnic. And so if you're going to make everything on that picnic, it could take a little bit of time. So if you don't have to scoop out the eggs and you just have this really flavorful dressing that gets drizzled on top with lots of fresh herbs, it's delicious. And it just cuts back a little bit of the
work.
But
simple things like Tracy's fried chicken tenders.
Those are delicious.
That's inspired by my mom and my grandmother. My Italian Nana used to make those for me. My grandmother used to sneak them in her bag and bring them into the movie theater.
Oh, that's great.
Anything else in the summer section?
Olive oil poached tuna.
Oh, great.
And you talk about this as being simple to do, and that once you do it, you'll never eat tuna without doing this yourself again.
Yeah, I mean, this, again, just a simple dish, and it's... it's a great way to poach tuna. You could eat this warm. You can eat it cold. You can reuse the oil. And it's, again, highlighting a lot of really great vegetables, cooking them in a way, escabeche, which is just really lightly pickled in oil. So you get to really taste a lot of the freshness of the vegetables.
So seared flat iron steak with
Spigarello. So
what is that?
We call that the new kale.
Okay.
It's an Italian, never heard of it. An Italian leaf broccoli. So it's a little sweeter than kale and a little more mild on the palate, a softer leaf. It's one of my favorites in the brassica family.
So this is something also that home gardeners could grow. It's not difficult to grow?
No.
Okay.
And that was our best-selling vegetable in San Francisco last year. I mean, it's like kale, but it doesn't have that bitterness at the end.
Oh.
Quick saute on it. It's just beautiful. It has that sweet broccoli flavor.
And
it's
say
awesome.
It again. Spigarelli?
Spigarello.
Spigarello. That's a new one on me. The corn, and also help me on this one. Is it fregola?
Fregola.
Fregola.
And so with sun gold tomato salad. What's fregola?
It's a toasted couscous. So it's like more pasta-y than a Mediterranean, the other couscous that people, I think, are a little bit more used to. So you cook it like pasta. But this is one of my favorite tricks in the book that Justin came up with, that you cook the couscous, and then you pour it right over the corn in the colander, the fresh corn. So it just very kind of lightly cooks the corn. The best part is that you have less dishes.
There's also two great desserts by Buttercup in here: the dark chocolate Medini with blueberries and basil. It thickens with rice flour, like chocolate pudding, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little bit richer than chocolate pudding. But I think the nice touch on that one is he adds salt and olive oil and blueberries and basil. Mm. So you kind of, again, he's going to that balance thing.
And then the buttermilk pie, come on.
Yeah.
Buttermilk pie. Yeah,
that's Southern, isn't it?
Yeah, we, Buttercup and I like to argue if it was invented in North Carolina or Texas, because we both had it. But I think it is actually from Texas originally.
Which is where Robert's from.
Yeah, which is where Buttercup's from.
Oh, I didn't realize. We'll take a break and we'll cover fall and winter recipes. And also, don't you have a big festival coming up at Kendall Jackson?
Next Sunday, the 30th, we have our Harvest Festival, which used to be the Tomato Festival, but this is the new Harvest Festival.
Well, tell us about that.
So we did the Tomato Festival, which you were there for most of it. I think we did it for 20 years. Yep. And, you know, with Tucker growing all this cool stuff, you know, granted, we still grow 50 varieties of tomatoes, but we wanted it to be about the whole garden and not just about the tomato and just all the diverse vegetables that he grows. So we mixed it up, and I think we made it into a really cool food festival with some of the best food around. So
tickets online for that, or
KJ.com.
So it's a walk around.
Yeah, it's a walk around.
Okay,
but a lot of guest chefs and
great
products, great ingredients.
This next Sunday,
September 30th, 11 till 4.
We'll be back after this.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk KSRO 103.5, 94.5.
I was asking friends, do you know anybody?
Introducing another grateful client of Dr. Walter Tom's Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center in Santa Rosa.
I needed to have a breast revision done because I had a procedure that didn't turn out quite well. So it was very important to find a doctor who would listen to what I had to say. Everybody said, Dr. Tom. I met his staff. They were absolutely wonderful. And then when I met Dr. Tom, it was great. Very warm, very caring. He listened to what I had to say. He told me what can and can't be done. I felt confident. I felt safe in his hands. And on the day of the procedure, I felt like I got 5-star treatment. Everything went perfect. The best part was the results afterwards. I knew it would be better than what I had, but it was amazing. I love my body.
For your free consultation with Dr. Tom, please call 542-8346. That's 542-8346.
Look younger by Monday.
Call 542-8346 or visit Dr. Tom's Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center on Stony Point Road in Santa Rosa or online at laserandvein.com.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market is bursting with wonderfully fresh local fruits and vegetables from your favorite farmers and ranchers. There's an abundance and wide variety of heirloom tomatoes, early girls, beefsteak, sun golds, and more. Don't miss this year's peaches, nectarines, pears, and apples. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, balsamic vinegar, marinades, tea blends, to hummus, and handmade pastas. Browse the artisan area for handcrafted gifts. Start your day with Friends at the Market. They're here to greet you year-round Wednesday and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you're in your home or business and you smell gas, your first step is to get out. Travel to a safe distance until you can't smell the gas anymore, and then call 911. The first responders will come out, and they'll make it safe for you and your community.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
We are covering the new book, Season, A Year of Wine Country Food Farming, Family, and Friends, by the culinary team at Jackson Family Wines. That's Kendall Jackson, Justin Wangler, Tracy Shipos-Chinami, and culinary gardener Tucker Taylor. The book just came out this past week. Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash in the kitchen, and we're up to fall, Mr. Ash.
Well, I think just looking at this, maybe fall is my favorite time too, because you're right, the foods get richer, deeper, all of that. And one of the very first recipes in this section is roasted oysters with bacon and collard greens, which you describe as redneck Rockefeller.
Yeah, it's a, you know, it's kind of a play on the Rockefeller dish. Yeah. And actually, it's a long time ago in North Carolina, it was a dish one of the chefs had on the menu at a restaurant I was working at called the Blue Rooster, which is an interesting spot. But yeah, so Tracy kind of took the idea and ran with it and curated this beautiful dish with, you know, we have so many great oysters here with Hog Island, and that's one of my favorite things to do is go out there. But we wanted a nice warm fall dish, and Tracy ran with the idea and brought some local cheese into the mix, and It's a really rich, warm.
And the picture is, I just want to eat the page.
Yeah, it's funny. You bake it on the salt, and it makes for a cool presentation. Yeah. But it also is practical because it holds the shells so they don't fall over.
I agree with you. Almost every recipe was a starred recipe in the fall section. It's just beautiful, especially the roasted kabocha squash. That kind of did it for me with the pepitas and the brown butter. Just a glorious fall.
That's like quintessential fall right there.
Yeah. Loved that. And the persimmon tart, is that your recipe, Tucker? Who did the persimmon tart?
That's Buttercup.
Yeah. Is that
Buttercup did it.
Beautiful photography of that.
Tucker grew the persimmons, though, so that's the most important part.
And then the grilled frisée
recipe. The grilled frisée is great. And a cheesecake soufflé. Is that something I could do?
That's an easy one. Yeah, that's it's a Japanese style cheesecake.
Because it's so spectacular.
Yeah, it's a cool picture, but super simple. And again, just roasted grapes are the garnish for that.
And Tucker, you gave a great tip for growing frisée, bunching them close together so that you get more white.
Yeah, so we plant our frisée pretty densely. And so instead of growing out, they're growing up because they're pretty crowded. So they self-blanch. So you get a larger heart. It's more of the white, so to speak.
My wife was thrilled when she saw that tip in the cookbook because we like growing frisée, but we've not been very successful so far. I like the Jan Birnbaum, the late wonderful chef Jan Birnbaum, was credited with the charred calamari and white bean the salad, the chorizo salad. Tell that story quickly.
He was one of the first chefs I met when I moved to California, and still one of my favorite meals. Catahoula in Calistoga was one of my favorite restaurants of all time. But he and Jamil, I think you guys know Jamil too, they cooked me dinner, and they made this beautiful calamari warm white bean salad right out of the wood-burning oven, and to this day, one of my favorite food memories. So
it's wonderful that you credit him and include that recipe. On to winter.
On to winter. So can you talk just a little bit about, because there's a whole, I had no idea, truffles. You guys actually do truffles.
We do. We have a truffle farm, and we've been lucky enough the past 2 years we've actually found truffles. So it's super exciting for us to be able to have that as in our arsenal of things that we get to cook with actual Sonoma County truffles.
The first farmed truffles harvested in Sonoma County.
Yeah, the first ones for sure. You know, and that's the great thing about Jess Jackson. He was always thinking long term. He was a big thinker, and he always wanted to take part in his favorite things, and he loved truffles. Mm-hmm. So he decided to plant a truffle orchard in Bennett Valley probably 9 years ago now, something like that, 9 years ago. And he, you know, it's one of those things, a lot of people have done it, and it takes some skill and some good soil and some luck. And luckily we had all those things come together. A gentleman named Brian Malone farms it, and you should see, there's a beautiful picture. It's a 13-ounce truffle in there. It looks like a softball.
We had Brian Malone on the Good Food Hour. When he was picking those first truffles and announced that on the show. It was really very cool.
He's such a good guy, too.
So what's the deal with Mrs. Litvinenko's blini with caviar and creme fraiche and eggs and chives?
This is a great recipe from one of our chefs who... he actually took off about a year ago, but this is his mom's, actually his grandmother's recipe originally, but beautiful bellini. And I mean, just the most amazing yeasty, really great with champagne because they're nice and yeasty. And I like this recipe because I like to make it, have caviar, and then put it in the fridge overnight, and then wake up and make pancakes, and you have these wonderful yeasty pancakes, and you put syrup on it. But the funny part of this story is his mom never gave him the full recipe. Until one time he was walking around, this is probably 4 years ago, he was walking in the kitchen and she just happened to be whipping egg whites, and he saw her and he's like, what's she doing? And she folded it into the batter, and that makes it ultra light and airy. And that was the part we didn't have in the recipe for several years, but that's the ticket right there.
We always suspect that Nana holds back one thing from the recipe. And you make a mean caramel corn. I know that for 25 years ago, but I'm curious as to this Mama Frischkorn's caramel corn. Who is there really a Mama Frischkorn?
Yeah, there is a Mama Frischkorn, and it was one of our chefs, Eric's mom. And when he first started, he was like, we were entering food for the Harvest Festival. You know, you can enter the Chef Center food, and you can win gold medals and stuff. And so Eric was, he'd probably been there, I don't know, maybe a couple months, and he's like, hey, you know, let me make my mom's caramel corn for the Harvest Festival. And I was like, no, man, like, we're making real food here. We're not making Cracker Jacks. And he kept on me for like 3 days. And I was like, all right, if you shut up, I'll let you make the caramel corn. So he did it, and we entered it, and he got double gold medal best in show in dessert category that year. So it stuck around for
the
a while.
The recipe's in the book.
Recipe's in the book.
Along with brioche monkey bread, too.
Yeah. Lots of fun stuff.
And lamb tartare. So you can eat lamb raw.
Yeah, just like beef. And I think this is one of those things, we buy the whole lamb in. Joe Valero raises the lamb. They're on the property and behind Tucker's Garden. So it's about as local as it gets. And when you buy the whole animal, you got to figure out something to do with all of it. So a lot of times you have some cuts off the tenderloin on the small edges that we chop up for the tartare. And it's really mild flavor, the lamb, when it's that fresh and grass-fed. So... yeah, we got a couple of fun little twists on there. Fried lemon gives it a nice texture and a little acid.
So. Well, congratulations to you, all three of you, and all the other 20-plus people that contributed to this book, The Culinary Team at KJ. It's really a great effort. Your favorite number today, Justin, between 1 and 12?
7.
Caller number 7 at 636-1350 will win this autographed copy of the just-released book, Season, A Year of Wine Country, Food, Farming, Family, and Friends, by Chefs Justin Wangler and Chefs Tracy Shipos-Chiname, along with culinary gardener Tucker Taylor, part of the Jackson Family Wines team. Some over 100 recipes, beautiful book, and it's meant to be cooked from. It's fairly enjoyed on the coffee table, but this will be spending a lot of time, hopefully, in the kitchen, right?
So how much does it weigh, this book?
It's about, what? 5 pounds? I'd say, no, 3.5.
Steve kept dropping it on the air yesterday so you could hear it slam on the table.
He needs to build up his upper arms, though. season, a year of wine country food farming. Thank you, all three of you, for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
We will see you next week, John Ash.
Yeah.
And remember, 7:54 tonight, fall.
Oh, that's right.
The fall equinox.
So good. We can get into the fall recipe.
Well, take your clothes off and dance around your fig tree tonight. Do something like that. Stick around. Clark Wolf at the table following the news at the top of the hour. This is KSRO Santa Rosa.
I'm Brett Musburger, and this is the North Bay's home of the Raiders, KSRO Santa Rosa.